very pleasant good morning to all of you, and welcome to the Because He Lived program. I am Reverend Curtin from the Halls Road Church of the Nazarene, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank the Church of the Nazarene and the Federal Motor Spur for allowing us the opportunity to bring this program through their sponsorship. God is indeed a great God and worthy to be praised. And as we praise Him this morning, we want you to enjoy this song. Again, by Elevation Worship. Isaiah 43 and verse 18 and 19 says, "This is what the Lord says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it's springing up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." I believe that the Lord God is about to do a new thing in the midst of us. He's about to change our old path and make it new. God is a God of new beginnings. He's a God that changeth things. And even though at this point of time you might be going through a lot of different stuff in your life, I want to assure you this morning that your God is with you. This is what He says. He says, "I have summoned you by your name. You are mine." This is what Jehovah God is saying. I have summoned you, or I have called you by your name. We are in relationship. You are mine. And because you are His, you are precious to Him. The Lord reminds you that you are precious to Him. He have called you. He have redeemed you by His own blood. He have created you. And God created all of us for his glory. And then he redeemed us from our past, from our sins. We who were in trespasses and in sin, God paid the price for us. He is not only the creator of our life, but he's the redeemer of our life. He paid the price for us. And the Bible says that we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. And God wants to remind you that you are precious to him. He called you by your name and he took ownership of you by saying, "You are mine." I want you to remember that always. Whenever you're going through any stuff, remember you belong to God. You are joint heir with Christ. You are heir of God. And therefore, all the riches of heaven and every spiritual blessing belong to you. The same blessings that was on Abraham, he says, "I will bless you with." And the same blessings that are on Jesus, he says, "I will bless you with," because you are a joint heir with Christ, because you belong to him. And because you belong to him, you are special. And he says to you, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you." When you pass through the water, I'll be with you. You notice the Bible did not talk about if you pass through the water. He talks about when. Because there will come times in our life when we will pass through the water. And I'm sure during the past years, there might be many, many waters that you have passed through. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. The waters of life sometimes seems to be drowning for us. But God says, "Don't worry about the waters of life. I am going to be with you. I remember who I am. I am your creator God. I'm your redeemer God. I am yours and you are mine." When you pass through the rivers, they will not overtake you. They will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, it will not burn you. I love that. Because God is in essence saying to you, whatever situation you have faced in the past, and whatever situation you will face in the present, that the constant thing remains that he is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And I like the way the writer puts it. He didn't say when you run through the fire, because that's the way we deal with fire. When we are in fire, we want to run out and get out of it as soon as possible. But the writer says, when I walk through, it talks about a casual step. You're not in a hurry to go anywhere. It talks about cruising. It's talk about ledger walking. So he says, when you walk through the fire, I will be there. The flames will not set you ablaze, because God will be there just like he was with the three Hebrew boys. When they went through the fire, the king says, "Did we not throw three men in the fire? Now I see four, and the fourth one looked like the Son of God." Because even in the fire, God was with him. Some of you might be going through fiery trials at this time in your life, and you're wondering, how on earth am I going to make it? Walk through, my friend. Don't try to run. Don't try to jog. Just walk through, because God has promised that he will be with you. And as he constantly says in all of these things, when? Because the time will come when you will have to encounter trials and testing. In this world, there shall be tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And we are constantly reminded that we are in a battle, and the enemy of our souls, he is battling against us and he is scheming against us. So testings will come, but the assurance that we have, the God who created us, the God who redeems us, the God who loves us with everlasting love is with us, and he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. We are precious and honored in his sight. Verse 4 says, we are precious and honored in his sight because he loved us. You are precious in the sight of God. You are honored. He calls you his own. He have given you his own name. And he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. You are honored. You are precious. Don't let the enemy say to you or fool you into believing that God doesn't care for you, that God doesn't care about you and all the things that you are going through and you have been through in the past that have you so upset and perplexed. All those things just happened and God didn't care for you. Why would God care for you and let all of these things happen? But remember Job. God loved Job, but the devil wanted to test Job because God was proud of him. God honored Job. Job was precious in God's sight. And when the devil saw that, he said, look, Job only served you, God, because you put a hedge around him. But take the hedge away and see if he would not curse you to your face. And God took the hedge away. But you know what Job did? When he lost everything, including his entire family, he looked up to heaven and he got down on his knees and his face to the ground. And he says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When he was losing his flesh with all the balls and sores on his flesh, he looked at all of this and yet he still honored and glorified God. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives and one day upon the earth he will stand. And though after this skin here that the worms are destroying, though after this skin the worms destroy my flesh, yet in my flesh will I see God and I will see him for myself. Job continued to praise God through his affliction. He was going through the waters of trials. He was going through the rivers that was deep and he was going through the fires of life. But he still praised the Lord because he knew that God was with him through it all. And therefore, he says, though you slay me, yet will I praise you. I will still honor you, God. I will still praise you. So when you go into trials like Job, don't think that God has forsaken you. Don't think that you are no longer precious and honored by God. You are precious and you are honored by him. You are loved. The Bible said in Jeremiah that he have loved you with everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, will he draw you to himself. So do not be afraid when you go through trials and temptation. Do not be afraid when you go through the waters of life and there seems to want to overflow you. Do not be afraid when the fire is kindled against you because the enemy will put on the fire. But be assured that your God, who is able to do abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or even desire, is with you, and he shall deliver you. He said, I will bring your children out. I will gather them from the east. I will gather them from the west. I will gather them from wherever they are. I will bring them out. For our God is a deliverer, and he promised no matter what happens in our life, he will be there for us. And then he promised and he says to us that you are my witnesses. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of the great things that God have done in your life. We have testimonies upon top of testimonies of how good God has been to us. The mere fact that we are still here today in the midst of all that we have been through in COVID times and so on, we should be grateful to God. And God says, you are my witnesses. You are my servants. You are the ones that I have chosen. And I have chosen you so that you may know me. To know him is not just to know about him, but it is to know him in an intimate way. Paul says, I want to know you. I want to know the fellowship that I can have with you. I want to have fellowship with your suffering. I want to understand all about you. To know means to enter into a relationship and spend time with some person so that you can know the integral parts of them. And God says, I am your God, but yet I want you to know me. I want you to know me in an intimate way. I have chosen you to be mine, and I want you to know me. God is longing for relationship with us. God is longing for relationship, and this is one of the things that God wants. He wants the restoration of the relationship that he had with the church, of people that will give him honor and glory and praise. He says, I want you to know me, and I want you to believe me. God is again calling on his people to believe me. He is asking us to reach out again and grab hold of our faith. Jesus said, when I come again, will there be faith on the earth? Because he wants us to understand that we are people of faith. You must believe God. Believe that what he says he will do. Believe that he can do abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or even desire. We must believe that God is who he says he is. So he says, I do not only want you to know me, but I want you to believe me. And I want you to understand that I am he. I am he. I am God. I want you to understand that I am all powerful. I want you to understand that I am all knowing. I want you to understand that nothing is impossible with me. I want you to understand that I created you out of nothing. I want you to understand I am he who have redeemed you. I want you to understand that I am he who loved you. I want you to understand that I am he who provides for you. I want you to understand that I am he who shelters you. I want you to understand that I am he who will protect you from the works of the enemy, who will keep your heart and mind. I want you to understand that I am your peace. I want you to understand that I am he who is your joy. I want you to understand that I am he who will comfort you in the time of trouble. I want you to understand that I am he who walked with you through the Red Sea. I want you to understand that I am he who walked with you through the River Jordan. I want you to understand that I am he who walked with you around the walls of Jericho and caused them to fall. I want you to understand that I am he who took you out of Egypt and brought you to the land of Canaan. I want you to understand who I am. God is saying to us, I want you to understand me. I want you to know me. I want you to believe in me. And I want you to understand who I am. I want you to understand that when you're going through stuff in your life, that I am still there. That there is no temptation taking you, which is common unto man. But I will make a way of escape. I want you to understand that you can do great things through him who have called you unto his own purpose. For God has formed us. And he says, I am God. There is no other God before me. There is no other God after me. All the other gods of this world, they are but idols. But I alone, I am God. And we must acknowledge that as we go through life, that he alone is God. He alone is able to save us. He is able to keep us. He who began the good work in us will bring it unto completion. So knowing all of that, he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to forget all about the past. Forget the past. Forgetting those things which are behind you. Forgetting all the bad treatment that you have been handed out with during the years. Forget all the pain and all the suffering, all the heartache and all the gossiping and all the backbiting and all the slander, everything that have affected your life. I want you to forget about it. I want you to forget about it. I don't want you to hold on to that any longer. I don't want you to dwell on it any longer. Forget the former things. All the things in your life that have troubled you and you have in your heart today. That person that have hurt you so deeply. That person that have neglected and rejected you. That mother that doesn't seem to care for you and have abandoned you as a child. Forget all the former things. Forget that church member that told lies on you and persons that tried to deceive you. Forget that husband that tried to take advantage of you. Forget that person that abused you. I want you to forget the former things, because you cannot go forward to the new thing that I have for you when you're still holding on to the old thing. When your past is still so much your present, you do not have room for the new thing that God is about to give to you. You do not have room for the new dispensation that God is about to deliver. You do not have room for the water that God is about to bring into your life. So he says, forget about the former past and do not dwell on the past. Too many of us still dwells on the past. Too many of us still talk about in the past it was this, in the past it was that, in the past, and we dwell on the past. Let me tell you something. The past has gone. It is history. It will never come again. No matter how happy you were in the past or how sad, no matter how much joy or sadness the past brought to you, the thing about the past, it is gone. And there is nothing that you can do right now about it. But you can look forward for the future. You can look forward and see what God is about to do. So he said, don't dwell on it. In other words, don't live back there. Do not live back there. That's what happened to Lot's wife. That's why she was turned into a pillar of salt. Why? Because she could not leave the past behind. She had to look back. God said, don't look back at it. Leave the past behind and move on. Because see, in other words, take note. I am doing a new thing. And I want you Nazarenes especially to know this morning. Take note. See, watch out. God is doing a new thing. Ask him to open your eyes so that you can see what he is doing in the realm of the spirit. He's about to change some churches around. He's about to restore Sunday schools and youth services. He's about to restore persons that have gone and have taken their leave from church. He's about to restore finances that have dried up. He is about to do a new thing in the mix of us. So we must trust him this morning. He says, I'm going to do a new thing, something that you have not even experienced before, something that you can't even begin to fathom or understand. I am going to do a new thing. And he says, now, even now, it springs up. When you say something spring up, it means it happened in an instant. It was not anything that you were anticipating. It just happened automatically, as out of nowhere. And God says, I am going to do a new thing. When I do this thing, you are going to marvel, because eyes have not seen, or ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things that I have prepared for them that love me. God is going to do a new thing in your home. Relationships will be restored. Sons and daughters will be restored. God is going to do a new thing in your church. Ministries are going to be restored. Excitement and enthusiasm will come again. The joy of salvation will be restored, because God is about to do a new thing. And he says, do you not perceive it? God is asking a question. Do you not perceive it? Do you not feel the change? Do you not feel the winds around you changing? Do you not begin to understand and perceive or know or look in the realm of the spirit and see what God is doing? Many of us can't perceive it. You know why? Because we are still spiritually blinded. We are still looking with our natural eyes, and we cannot see into the realm of the spirit what God is doing around us. But God said, can't you perceive it? It's like Elisha and the young servant that he had. They are encamped all around with the enemy, and all the young servant can see is the enemy on the mountains and all around, and they are coming against Elisha. But Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. All God called him to perceive what is happening in the realm of the spirit. And when his eyes were opened, He said, Lord, wow, what do I see? I see the angels of the Lord surrounding them, and greater are those on our side than those who are against us. I want you to know, if God be for you, who can be against you? And oh, that God will open our eyes and help us to understand that he who has created us and redeemed us and loved us with an everlasting love, he is for us. And because he is for us, he is going to work all things out together for our good. When you consider everything you're doing in the past and what God is about to do in the future, it's going to make the past seem like nothing. All the pain that you had and everything is going to seem like nothing, because as the songwriter says, it will be worth it all when I see Christ. When God begins to break through and break forth in your life, and you begin to see him moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to see changes that you never even expected. He said it is going to spring up. People are going to be surprised about what God is doing in your personal life, in your family life, and your church life. Can't you see it? Can't you perceive it? Oh, that God will open our eyes in the realm of the Spirit, that we begin to see what he is doing. He said, I'm going to cause a way in the wilderness. Isaiah knew that when the Israelites were returned from Babylon to the land of Israel, that there was a great wilderness before them, miles and miles and miles of wilderness. And God says, listen, don't worry about the miles and miles of wilderness. Some of you feel that way, that there are just miles and miles of wilderness before you and God and before your mission, what you want to do. But God says, I'm going to make a way in your wilderness. You're going to get there. I'm going to provide a way so that you can get there. I'm going to cause streams to flow up in your dry and thirsty place. Those of you who feel dry spiritually right now, those of you who feel as though you cannot make it another year in your position, I want you to tell you that God is going to cause some water to spring up in your dry area. He is going to cause rivers to begin to flow in the desert. He's going to do the impossible. He's going to do that thing that you least expect. And he's going to do that thing that people are going to marvel. How comes I'm seeing a stream in the wilderness? The wilderness is supposed to be a dry place. The desert place is supposed to be a dry place. How comes I'm seeing a stream? It's because God is doing a new thing. I want you to understand that right now and begin to perceive it. Begin to receive it and begin to pray about it. Begin to call it into being. Begin to say, God, let your will be done in the name of Jesus. Father, do what you ever desire to do in the midst of us, even now, in the name of Jesus. Bring it to pass. Amen. Again, I would like to thank the Church of Nazarene and Federal Motor Spirits for allowing us this privilege this morning. God bless you. Do have a wonderful Sunday, you and your family, and look forward for the new thing that God is about to do. For God is about to restore everything back to you. The things that have been taken from you, God will restore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.